If you haven't taken the time to love your mother and hug on her, if you have that opportunity, do it. Amen. And hold on just a little longer. Praise God. I just want to, before I get into the word today, give my mom honor. And I love you, Mom. She takes a little bit of heat because I sometimes refer to the spankings I got. But what you don't know is I deserved all of them, and I needed more than I got because sometimes she didn't know, but very rarely. They do have that intuition, Brother Todd, and it is like an instruction manual. And you can think you've pulled off a great, great stunt, only to have Mom have that feeling. My mom used to say, when I don't hear you, I know something's wrong. I was into something I shouldn't have been. So I give you honor today, Mom. You have lived a life. You've lived a life, and I wrote this in her card, not to be too personal, but she's been Christ-like all the days of my life. And I don't think there's a higher compliment I could pay her today. And I've seen good days, bad days, tough times, good times. And it's always the same. Love God, love her family. So thank you, Mom. And then to my wife, I do give you honor. And I love you. And I thank God for you, not only as my wife, but as the mother of our children and now grandchildren. I thank God for you. Amen. I hate to be personal too much in public, but she deserves it. And she's not just a physical mother. She teaches here every day, feels after the mind of God. And there's usually 10 to 15 people every day that come to pray, and I thank God for you. There's a powerful anointing here Tuesday. There is every day, but it was just powerful. I was able to be in here. So to God be the glory. Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4, and I'm inviting you to this Old Testament story. I was reading one day, and I was in Judges, and I came across this passage, and the Lord just began to talk to me about how applicable it was for this day, and so here we are. Judges chapter 4, verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. He was a very harsh man, 900 chariots of iron. 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Say 20 years. 20 years. That's a long time. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, I think. And said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. Now the prophetess is telling Barak, I'm going to draw the enemy into your hand and give them to you. This oppressor, Sisera, is going to come into your hands, and you're going to defeat him. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. What a wimp. God has just said, I'm giving you the enemy. And he says to the prophetess, I'll go if you go with me. But if you won't go, I'm not going to go. He was afraid. He was reluctant to go. And so this was her response, verse 9. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. You're going to do and play a part in this battle, but it's not going to be you who gets the honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. So Israel has a problem. They're under great oppression, 20 years of affliction by Sisera and at the hand of Sisera, who was the captain of Jabin's army, amen, king of Canaan. And so he is oppressing Israel. The times are tough and things are very oppressive. And he is causing all kinds of havoc to the children of Israel. And so Deborah, the prophetess, arises and says, God's going to give this warrior into your hands, and you're going to take out not only footmen, but you're going to take out the captain of the host. Amen. You're going to take out the captain. Everyone say the captain. It's one thing to take out infantrymen. Those are important. But when you start taking out leaders, you start taking out strategy, you start taking out planning and capability that an infantryman cannot do because he is not privy to the information. So it's a mighty blow. And God, through Deborah, says, I'm going to give this man to you, Barak. And he chickens out. He says, I can't go. I'm not going to go if you don't go. But if you'll go, I'll go. And he's just sort of wishy-washy without much backbone. And so she turns and she says, you're going to get to be a part of the battle, but you're not going to be the one that takes Sisera out. It's a woman's going to do that. Hello. Amen. And so they have fallen into this position, and they were mightily oppressed. And this is exactly how the enemy loves to handle people. And he wants you and I to be oppressed. Hello. He's trying to wear out the saints of the Most High God. He's like a Barak. A Sisera with these chariots of iron who comes at you every day and just tries to wear you down, tries to come at you with hardness and difficulty. And we need to understand that Sisera was oppressing Israel, and we need to consider that there was no trade or commerce going on, because by now the highways were abandoned. Amen. The merchants feared to be visible because of the oppression of Sisera. There was no traveling. The travel routes had been cut down because thieves and robbers ruled the trade routes, and people were afraid to leave their homes and the villages and towns that they lived in. There was no farming because they were not allowed to farm, because that meant they were providing their own food, and the fields were unoccupied, continually being plundered by the enemy and Sisera's ruthless rule. No justice. Kind of starting to sound like what we're fighting today. Amen? There was no justice. There was war in the gates of the cities, and there was no defense for the people. Amen. They were not in power. They did not rule. Amen. The unrighteous ruled, and therefore there was no justice in the system. There was no peace. Every day was ruled by fear and intimidation, and the wells of water were guarded by archers, literally. They had archers that guarded the wells of water so that if the Israelites would go out and try to get water and draw water, and it was usually a woman that would do that in those days, they would be shot at or killed by these archers guarding the wells of water. They had no arms to defend themselves, not literal arms, but arms, weapons. They had no weapons to defend themselves. It's recorded that there was neither a shield or spear among 40,000 warriors of Israel. They had neither skill nor the will to use them. It's one thing to lose your weapons, but it's another thing to lose your will to fight. And that's the condition they were in. It was so oppressive that not only had they not had their weapons to use, but they didn't have the will to use them any longer. That meant that they were despondent. They thought that the war, the battle, the opposition was too strong. So why try? Why fight? Why try? He's too powerful. He's too much in control. Now, this is just a glimpse into just how oppressed Israel was and the oppression that Sisera ruled over them with. Praise God. This is why when Deborah, the judge of Israel, the prophetess, called Barak to take 10,000 men to go to Mount Tabor, amen, and said, I'll draw Sisera and the multitude to your hands and deliver you. He said, I'll go if you go with me. He had taken on the same mindset that said, it's really no use in fighting because we're up against such a strong opposition. It's important to note that Jael, or Yahweh, how it's pronounced in the Hebrew, received as much honor for her valor in the tent as Barak would have received in the battlefield. I want us to go on and read Judges 4 and verse 19, just dropping down in this chapter. And look at what happens once, amen, Deborah goes with Barak and they begin to pursue the enemy. In verse 16, it says, but Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. So there was a battle that ensued, and there was, people that were taken out at the hands of Barak. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Yahweh. Amen. So here we have Sisera, the one who's in charge of all of these ironclad chariots. 900 of them. He had a mighty arsenal at his disposal. He got away. A few people fell, but the leader got away. He fled on his feet, and he went to this tent where Yahweh, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. I know I'm reading just a little bit. Just stay with me for a moment here. And Yahweh went out to meet Sisera. I want you to get this picture. Remember what we just talked about, how oppressed the land is, how difficult it was. How under the thumb of this great oppressor Sisera was. But when Sisera comes to the tent of Yahweh, amen, she goes out to meet him. She goes out with great courage. She goes out without intimidation. She goes out to meet him and said to him, turn in, my Lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned into her, into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. She had hospitality, even though he was a feared warrior. She invited him into her tent, into the house, whatever you want to call it, and she covered him. He had obviously been on the run. We're going to read in just a few verses that he was weary, he was tired, he was thirsty, and he was probably, amen, drained of his energy because he was fleeing from this battle. She said, fear not, and she covered him with a mantle. And verse 19 says, and he said to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Now listen to this. Pick up on how in tune she is. I want you to pick up on the fact that God had prophesied through Deborah that, all right, Barak, you're not going to stand up and fight to this level that we need you to stand up to. I'm going to raise up a woman, Yahweh, and she's going to take the enemy out. So he comes to her tent. She invites him in. She covers him. And he says, would you please give me a little water? I'm thirsty. This is all part of the drama. She did not just give him a drink of water. I might need some help today. I don't know how this is going to turn out. Hold on just a minute. Here we are. He said, I'm really thirsty. Would you please get me a little water to drink? And she bypassed, almost like she didn't hear what he was saying. And the Bible says that she went and she opened up a bottle of milk and poured him a glass of milk. And gave it to him. It wasn't an accident. I don't believe it was because she didn't have water. But she had a plan. She had a strategy. She was in 2 to 3 steps ahead of her enemy. He turned in, and the first thing she did was disarm him by inviting him in. And then she covered him up to comfort him. And then when he says, you know what, I'm really thirsty, the battle's been tough, she pours him a glass of milk. Now, it wasn't just any kind of milk, as we're going to read on later. It was actually buttermilk. Buttermilk. And so that would have killed me right on the spot. No need for any other further battle, just out, gone. Now you know I don't like buttermilk. Praise God. She gave him a drink, and then she covered him. And again, he said to her, now he's really dropping his guard now, because he's starting to converse with her. And I want you to pick up on the subtlety of this. He's planning to go to sleep. Now, water refreshes you, right? But buttermilk makes you groggy. Right? Milk, dairy, kind of just, So she gave him this buttermilk, and then he said to her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, is there any man here, that thou shalt say, no. Now, this isn't some kind of shady deal where there's immorality involved. He's in a place where he feels secure as a warrior, and he is wanting a little rest from the battle so that he can rise back up in strength and continue on oppressing the Israelites. Then Yoel, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. She covered him up. She gave him milk, buttermilk, to drink. He says, now, whatever you do, don't let anyone know I'm here. He goes fast asleep because he's very weary. And the Bible says that when he was asleep, I need a volunteer. Between me and Brother Buster, these people just aren't volunteering over here. Here he is. Now, Charlie, I don't want you to pull any shenanigans on me, all right? Come on up here, Sisera. You're asleep. Lay down right here. Turn around, Charlie. No, that's a shenanigan. I don't want you to pull. Lay down right here. Put your head right here. Lay on your side. Can't you tell he's tired from the battle? She covered him with a mantle. He's had some buttermilk. Now he's just gone. He's asleep in a deep sleep. And the Bible says that Yahweh checked on him, noticed that he was out, but she still moved softly through the house. And the Bible says that she went into the other room. And she came out. Is this what it said? Now, if you're new here, we're not going to do anything violent, okay? We welcome you. Thank you. We're not crazy people. This is just so, hopefully you'll remember this message next Mother's Day, hopefully. And while Sisera, let's do a recap, the great oppressor, 20 years of iron chariots rumbling through the streets, fear stricken in all the land of Egypt, or Israel, and all the people of Israel were in fear. And Charlie's like, he's awake right now. He sees this. And she, the woman, invites him in, gives him a place to lay down, covers him up with a mantle, makes sure he's secure, goes up above and beyond what he asked for, a little drink of water, gives him buttermilk, and he falls fast asleep because he's weary. And now she has said, this is my opportunity. I'm not just going to give him a little place to go. I'm not just going to take a hammer and conk him one and hope it works. She says, I'm going out and getting a tent stake. Well, they lived in tents. I don't know if this is what it was or not, but the Bible says it was a nail, but we know it was a tent stake. Lay still, Charlie. It's not going to hurt long. And the Bible says, she took a tent stake and a workman's hammer, and she drove it through his temple. And she drove it. She drove it so deep. Don't try that at home. Sit still. Thank you, Charlie. Good job. She drove it through his temples, and she went all the way through his skull. And the Bible says that it was so deep that it pinned his head to the ground. And this mighty warrior who had stricken fear and intimidation in Israel for so many years was now laying in the floor of her tent with his head nailed to the ground. And the Bible says that she took his sword and cut off his head. This is not the first place we read about this in the Word of God, right? This is what David did with Goliath. She took his own sword and cut his head off. She said, I recognize an opportunity that may never come again. And I'm going to take this guy out in my house, in my tent, and he is not going to ever leave here. And when Barak arrived on his pursuit of Sisera, the Bible says he got to her house and she invited him in and says, I want you to come in here and see the one you've been chasing. I want you to see what's happened to the one that's been striking terror in the people of God. I have taken him out in my house. And I want you to know that the prophecy that day was fulfilled of Deborah, who said, Barak, you're intimidated. You don't want to fight. You don't want to go. I'm going to raise up a woman who's going to take out this Sisera, and she's not going to be intimidated to take him out in her own house. Amen. She didn't fight on the battlefield. She fought inside of her house. I'm here to prophesy to some woman in the house today. Amen. Others may be intimidated, but I believe God's raising up some women that aren't afraid to say, you know what? I'm going to take out the enemy in my house. I'm going to take him out. I'm not going to have to leave my home. I don't have to do anything else. I'm going to raise up, amen, in my heart and in my house, tactics and strategies that the enemy will not be able to rise up against. courage and wisdom of this great woman was on display as she took him out. Oh, thank God. Amen. I'm a byproduct of a mother who prayed. I'm just blessed to have her here today. But I know I was in a service in Mansfield, Ohio, back in, I believe it was the 90s. Amen. And I was in there. They were dedicating a building, and I was there. And I was just there in attendance. And as we were praying, I think they said, take the hand of the person next to you. I took the hand of the person next to me, which was my mom, and I began to pray. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me like he speaks to me. And he says, the only reason you're here is because your mother has prayed over you and kept you from harm. I should have been dead multiple times over through different various accidents, but prayers somehow kept me, and somehow prayers are going to keep your generation. We've been singing about it today. 1,000 generations, may the blessing be upon you. I'll tell you where the blessing is. It starts in the home with a mother who is willing to take out some enemies and say, not on my watch. Amen. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to be intimidated. She was 3 steps ahead of her enemy because she was tired of Sisera ruling her people with oppression, tired of living without freedom. She was oppressed. Her family, her nation, her kinsmen were all under the rule of Jabin and Sisera, and this was her chance to change it. She was tired of waiting on someone else to take out her enemy. And I'm just saying today in the Holy Ghost, is there anyone that's just tired of the enemy trying to take out your family, trying to take out your nation, trying to come against your church? Is there any woman, any mother in the house that would say, oh no, I got a tent stake for you. I'm 3 steps ahead of you. I'm going to give you, amen, a drink of buttermilk today, and you're going to be taken out. She recognized her chance to take out the oppressor in her life. Will you recognize the chance to take out the oppressor? I believe we'll always be engaged in some sort of spiritual warfare. It's just part of it. But I do believe there are things that we can take out and never have to deal with again. Amen. I believe there are some victories to be won. Amen. And her strategy was very clear. Amen. Throughout this reading today, Sisera asked her for a little water, and she said, oh no, I'm going to give you better than that. I believe God is looking for some Yoels in the house today. Maybe some Brocks who are more qualified, but they're reluctant. I don't know. Probably not going to go over well. It's not meant to be chauvinistic, but I believe that Barak was supposed to be the one to rise up and take out Sisera. But because he was afraid, God turned and prophesied over a woman, said, what he's afraid to do, I'm going to raise up a woman to do it. Hello. I want to read chapter 5 now, verse 24, because this is the actual account we read in chapter 4, but now Deborah, the prophetess, the judge of Israel at that time, she wrote a song of deliverance and recapped the victory. And this was kind of commonplace in the Old Testament that they would do this, turn things into poems and songs about what God had done. But this is what Deborah penned put into song or poetry about what Yoel did. Verse 24, blessed above women shall Yoel, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. Now that phrase is powerful because it makes sure that we understand that she's blessed, but she didn't have to leave home to do it. I'm not talking about working here. I'm talking about spiritual warfare. I'm talking about being a woman that God can put his favor upon, put his anointing upon, amen, and he can do it right in your home. He wants some mighty warriors in the home. Verse 25, Sisera asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter or buttermilk in a lordly dish. She put a glass of milk in front of him, buttermilk. And she put her hand to the nail and in her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer, she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet, he bowed and he fell and he lay down. At her feet, he bowed and fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. That bowing is a picture for us to understand that no, he did not walk in and bow at her feet. But in reality, he did bow at her feet when she took him out. She just got him to bow against his own will. Normally, Sisera would not come in and bow at Yoel's feet, but through her strategy and through her understanding of the things that she did, she caused him to get weary and bow at her feet, and she was able to take him out, amen, with one mighty blow. What a powerful picture this is of what you can do, amen, mom, what you can do, lady, amen, in your house if you will just strategize and ask God, Lord, I'm not afraid. Amen, of the battle. I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of the intimidation. I'm tired of what the enemy's trying to wreak havoc in my situation over. I'm going to take control of it. I'm going to have some strategy that takes him out, and I'm going to be ahead of him through prayer and fasting. Musicians, you can come. I'm not preaching long. But I want you to focus with me on verse 31, because this is what the Lord wants us to understand. He wants you to understand, mom. He wants you to understand, ladies. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And she's recounting this story of Yoel and her victory over Sisera. And then she makes this statement, she pens this statement. And the land had rest 40 years. With a glass of buttermilk and a tent stake and a willingness to put yourself on the line. She turned 20 years of harsh oppression into 40 years of peace and favor. Twice as much blessing came after Yahweh took Sisera out as the oppression that lasted before it. I've got news for somebody. It's never too late to get in your, amen, strategy prayer closet and begin to take some things out. Amen. It could have been a difficult path for you the last 10 years, 20 years, maybe through your children's childhood up until this point. Maybe a situation that's caused you a bunch of havoc, stress, amen, and fight and spiritual warfare. But if you'll stand up to Sisera and say, come on in here. I've got something for you. I've got an end to your shenanigans. I'm putting an end to your oppressive ways over my family. There's going to be blessing over my family for the next generations. I'm turning the curse into blessing. I'm taking the oppression and bringing peace through my willingness to fight you and take you out.